Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and there's romance in this hour. Later on, an episode of the Gulfstream Guild Theater, but first, it's Bright Star, featuring movie actors Fred McMurray and Irene Dunne in the story Patience's Romance, a syndicated episode from April 16th, 1953.
Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunne as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in a gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star. Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show, starring Irene Dunne as Susan Armstrong, owner and editor of the Hillsdale Morning Star, and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, the paper's ace reporter. Someone said that lightning never strikes twice in the same place, but then that someone never heard of the Hillsdale Morning Star. Susan Armstrong is busy at the editor's desk just as lightning is about to strike again.
Morning, Miss Armstrong.
Yes, Emmy.
I was just giving Miss Meyer a breather on the ad desk, and this came in.
Oh, what is it?
One of those Lonely Hearts things. I thought you might be interested.
Lonely Hearts? Let's see it. Attractive middle-aged woman desires to communicate with successful middle-aged man. Object matrimony. Well, why should I be interested in this, Emmy? It's like any other ad in the Lonely Hearts column.
It's a box ad, but take a look where they want their apply sent.
Good heavens! That's my house. My address.
That's why I thought you'd be interested.
You sure you haven't made some mistake?
No, ma'am. Even with a cold, nobody else could sound like Patience.
Patience?
She sounds like the differential on a $50 used car.
Patience? Did she recognize you?
I don't think so. Everybody tells me that over the phone my voice comes out real sweet-like.
Yes, I'm sure it must. Sammy, I don't want you to say a word about this to anyone.
Yes, ma'am.
Is Mr. Harvey in his office?
Not at the moment.
Where is he?
Across the street having brunch.
Is this a habit with him?
No, ma'am. Most of the time he goes out later in the afternoon.
Well, what's that for?
Well, I ain't sure, but the way that guy eats, I'd call it dunch.
Well, as soon as he returns from brunching or dunching, tell him I want to see him immediately.
Myself away the minute I found out you wanted me, boss.
George, I need you.
Well, if that is a statement of fact, I hardly agree. If it's a proposal, I say it's a little sudden.
Read this.
Attractive middle-aged woman desires to communicate with successful middle-aged man. Object matrimony. Why, Susan, you're not middle-aged, and you know.
George, please.
I'll admit I'm not quite successful, but then I'm not quite middle-aged either. Now, if you just told me that you felt like...
Stop that. Guess who put that ad in the paper?
Not you, for me.
Patience.
Patience. Your patience?
My patience.
Let me read this again. Attractive middle-aged woman. Well, that lets Patience out right there. She wouldn't be attractive in a full-length dress made out of $10,000 bills.
Nevertheless, she phoned that ad in this morning.
Must have blown a condenser, huh?
Well, suppose she finds the man she's looking for.
So his luck ran out, that's all. Could happen to anybody.
But it means I'd lose her. And then what would I do?
Oh, you'd find someone else.
Well, there isn't anyone else like Patience.
Maybe she's just lonesome. A lot of these old gals get funny ideas when they're sneaking up on 60.
Now, Patience is nowhere near 60.
All right, so I'll spot you a few years either way.
But why should she be lonesome?
Well, for one thing, a reading lamp at night isn't exactly what you call the bright lights.
The bright lights? Oh, Patience would never care for anything like that.
I once read a statistic that 95% of the moths that get barbecued in the flame are well over middle moth age. So maybe Patience feels she'd like to kick a little gong herself.
I wonder if you're right. Let me call her. I've got an idea.
Help yourself.
I don't know when I've ever had anything upset me so.
Well, we'll work it out.
Hello?
This is Miss Armstrong, Patience.
Oh, yes?
I just wanted to tell you we're dining out tonight at the hotel. Dancing, too.
Okay, I'll save the leg of lamb and warm it over tomorrow night. There's some hamburger I can eat.
No, Patience, you don't understand. I mean you, too.
Me, too, what?
You're included. You're going to the hotel with us. I just got to thinking that you've been working too hard lately, and you need a night off.
I haven't got anything to wear.
Well, now, don't you worry about that. We're going informal, and you have beautiful clothes.
We? Who's the rest of us?
George, of course.
Hey, wait a minute.
Shh. Did you hear me, Patience?
I heard you.
Is that all right with you? About George, I mean.
Into every life, a little rain must fall.
We'll pick you up around 7. You'll be ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Good. See you then.
Bye.
Hey, what's the big idea? How did I get roped into this?
I need you, George.
Yeah, you said that before, but what has this got to do with that?
Well, you were the one who thought up the bright light, so...
So?
So, of all the people I know, you're the greatest little lamplighter in the whole world.
You know what I wish?
No, what?
The next time I stick my neck out, I wish somebody would douse my light.
Is your steak good, Patience?
At these prices, a body should take it home and frame it.
Never mind what it costs. Is it good?
I've got a better recipe at home.
The chef here is famous for his salads. Good, isn't it, Patience?
I've got a better recipe at home.
Well, you will have to admit this is living, Patience. Bright lights, good food, pleasant people, and there's music in a little while. Excellent service.
She's got a better recipe at home.
And they're my own recipes, too. I worked them out all by myself.
Well, you're the best cook in the world, Patience. We all know that. But isn't it a treat being out like this?
I just can't help thinking we could eat for a week on what this dinner costs.
Now, don't you worry about that. I can afford it, I'm sure.
You can afford it? What about him?
Think nothing of it, Patience. She can afford it for me, too.
Did you notice last week where a husband sued his wife for divorce and the judge awarded him alimony?
No. Really? What a strange case.
Oh, I don't know. I have a feeling that men are beginning to assert their rights these days. She'll have to pay him $100 a month for the rest of her life. We'll probably be seeing more of these cases as time goes on.
Yes.
What did he charge her with?
Oh, flirting and things like that. I believe she had her eye on another man.
$1,200 a year isn't much for a new husband. Income taxes cost more than that.
The music has started, George.
Oh. Oh, yes. Nice music, too. Patience, how about tripping the light fantastic?
Me? Oh, don't be silly. The last time I danced was at a corn husking bee back in Minnesota.
Well, we haven't any corn handy, but maybe we could throw a little asparagus around the floor and get you back in the mood.
Dancing's like swimming, Patience. Once you know how, you never forget.
That's what I keep telling my joints.
You having trouble with them?
Did you ever hear corn popping in a roaster?
Sure.
That's me and my joints on a dance floor. Now, you just go ahead and dance with Miss Susan.
You're sure you won't mind being alone, Patience?
One more night won't hurt, will it?
No, I guess not. Well, shall we do it?
It's a pleasure. How are we doing?
Not very well. I don't think we've changed our mind at all.
Somehow I get the same impression.
I'm afraid we're doing this all wrong, George. She didn't care for the dinner or anything.
What about taking her home and sailing into a wild game of hearts or something?
Well, we've got to do something. This isn't accomplishing anything.
You know, I've always had a feeling that in her heart, Patience doesn't really like me.
Oh, don't be foolish. Wait a minute. I've just put my finger on it. Patience is fighting you, that's it.
What?
Yes, that means she's attracted to you. I shouldn't have come along tonight.
Susan, do you feel all right?
The very next time, we'll see that you're alone with Patience. And if she gets to like you, she'll forget about the other men.
Well, that's the... Besides being utterly asinine and preposterous, there's only one other flaw in your scheme.
What?
Suppose it works. Single all the way. Oh, what? Good morning, Susan. That's a new theme song I dreamed up for Patience.
I wish I could be sure it was her theme song.
How did it go last night after I left?
I wouldn't know. She thanked me for the dinner and then went to bed.
While visions of boyfriends danced through her head.
I guess so. Well, I've arranged everything for tonight, George.
Oh?
Yes, you come out after dinner, and I'll get patients into the living room, and then remember a long phone call I have to make. Now, the rest is in your hands.
Just what do you mean by the rest?
Well, I don't have to tell you how to charm women, do I?
Well, I wish somebody would. I haven't had too much success lately. Wait a minute. You don't mean I'm supposed to charm patients, do you?
Well, if you could manage to take her mind off other men, that would help. Oh, this is a desperate situation, George. It calls for desperate measures.
Well, not that desperate, believe me. Look, I'm a reporter, not a gigolo.
Good morning.
Hello, Sammy.
Here's the answers to that ad patients ran yesterday.
Let me see. 5 answers. Oh, heavens, this is worse than I thought. That means there are 5 men in this city who are willing to marry patients.
Well, it's probably a basketball team, and they want it for a roving center.
Oh, I'd give anything to know what these answers are and how patients react to them.
Why don't you ask her?
Oh, no, that would never do.
Hey, wait a minute. That's an idea. Let Sammy do it.
Sammy?
Sure. Let him take the letters out to patients and hang around to find out whatever he can find out. You'd like to be a detective, wouldn't you, Sammy?
I'd rather be a fireman.
You can be a fireman tomorrow, Sammy.
It might work at that. Sammy, take these letters out to patients and watch her reactions closely. Get her to read them if you can.
What if I can't?
Then you can be a fireman, because when you come back, you'll get the axe.
I thought they always mailed these answers from the newspaper.
Sure, but I figured you were something special, so I brought them over personally.
Thanks.
They look like they may be important. No little windows in them, so they can't be bills.
So I notice.
Well, I got a knife. You want me to slit them open for you?
No, thanks. But if you're so handy, there's a pan of potatoes you can peel.
Oh, well, maybe I better get back to the office.
That's what I was thinking.
You're sure you don't want those letters open before I go?
That's the general idea, Sammy. Now run along.
Okay. But remember to call me if anything starts burning.
Whatever in the world for?
Because from now on, you're looking at smoke-eating Sammy, doubling for a Dalmatian on Engine Company 3.
Now, George, patience is coming right in. Tell her I'm phoning and ask her to wait until I get back. Sammy failed us this morning, so now it's up to you.
Well, if Sammy couldn't do it, what chance do I have?
Now, George, all you have to do is be your usual sweet self.
Well, all right. I'm just putty. I don't have to wait till morning. I hate myself right now.
Miss Susan. Oh, where's Miss Susan?
Well, she just remembered an important phone call, patience. She'll be right back. Sit down, won't you?
Don't mind if I do. Been on my feet all day.
Such tiny feet, too.
My feet are big enough to keep me from blowing over in a strong wind. That's what feet are for.
Yes. Patience, what time do you get up in the morning?
What difference does it make?
Well, no difference. I was just wondering how long and hard your day was.
Mornings when I don't feel so good, I stay in bed till 6:30.
Uh-huh. And when you're feeling tops?
5 o'clock on the nose.
5? If I got up at 5 in the morning, that's how it'd be, on my nose.
Some people have ambition and some don't.
Meaning me, I suppose. Why do you say those things to me, Patience? I've always been very fond of you.
Why should you be fond of me?
Why? Well, because you're charming, intelligent, you have a wonderful disposition, sense of humor, and you're a handsome woman.
Sounds like the Blarney Stone kicked you right in the teeth.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not charming. I don't have the sense to come in out of the wet. I've got a mean disposition. I never said anything funny in my life. And the only handsome thing about me is my teeth. And they're not even mine.
Well, as I always said, Patience, you should know.
Well, the least you could do is give me an argument. I could be wrong, you know.
Patience, I make it a point never to argue with a woman.
Maybe that's what's wrong with you. Ever think of that?
No, that never occurred to me. Okay, pick any subject you like and we'll argue. One fall to a finish.
Sometimes I think you're a little flaky.
A little flaky?
Off your rocker.
Oh, but you just said you wanted me to argue with you.
I haven't got time to argue with anybody. When Miss Susan gets through with that phone call, tell her I'll be in the kitchen.
But, patience. Susan, you can come out now.
Tell me everything, George. How did it go?
To make a long story short, Patience probably loves every man in the world but me.
Oh, no.
I told you I wouldn't be any good at this charm stuff or any other way. Right now, I wouldn't care if she married all five of those guys.
But George, think what that would mean for me.
The world won't come to an end if she goes away and gets married.
Oh, now, don't stand there arguing. George, I guess I know what I'm talking about.
One wants to argue with me, the other one doesn't. Sometimes I wonder why I came here.
Yes, sometimes I wonder, too.
Okay, I'll go, and then we can both stop wondering.
You're going to leave me? Patience is going to leave me? I'll be all alone.
No, no, you won't. When she answers those five letters, you'll have five guys around here. Pick out what she doesn't want, and the best of luck to both of you.
Hello?
Miss Patience Wentworth?
That's right.
My name is Norman Rutland. I'm putting together a cookbook featuring wholesome American recipes. I understand you're quite famous here in Hisdale for your culinary art.
Who's been talking to you?
The manager here at the hotel recommended your skill. I believe he had several of your dinners as a guest of your employer. Miss Susan Armstrong?
Oh, sure, I remember. He ate until he almost fell off the chair.
Well, that's the sort of dish I'm looking for. Could I visit you and look over your recipes? I'm paying $25 apiece for those I use.
$25 for one of my recipes?
That's right.
I'll be right down to the hotel.
Well, it might be better if I came to see you. I'll need cooking instructions and all that.
Tonight? 7:30? Maybe earlier?
Oh, 7:30 will be just fine. And thank you so much.
Thank you. $25, and I've got a million of them.
Oh. Morning Star, Miss Armstrong.
Miss Susan, this is Patience. The most wonderful thing has just happened.
Patience, where are you?
At home. Where else? I was wondering if I could have dinner a little earlier tonight. There's a man coming to see me, and it's very important.
A man?
I was wondering if you could help me get fixed up for his visit. You know, maybe a new coat of paint for the old war horse?
Oh, you're not an old war horse.
Then maybe we could do something with my hair so it won't look so much like hay.
Yes, Patience. We can have dinner early, and I'll help you all I can.
I'm not much on fancy talk, so I'll just say thanks.
Oh, Patience. Would it be all right if I bring George home for dinner?
Sure. This is the most important night of my life, and not even George can spoil it. Oh, maybe I should have worn that green wool jersey.
No, Patience. This silk taffeta is simply divine. Besides, it rustles when you walk.
Well, when he comes, I don't want to go downstairs sounding like a tree in the wind.
No, believe me, this dress really does something for you.
Doesn't it sort of hide my figure?
Yes, I know, but that's why I think it's just a perfect choice.
Oh, look at my hair, will you?
Oh, no, no. That looks kind of like a halo on your head.
Maybe, but I don't think they're wearing straw halos these days. How about borrowing some of that hair lacquer you use?
By all means. Go right into my room and help yourself. It's on my dressing table.
Then I'd better be getting downstairs. It's almost 7:30.
Now, look, you do nothing of the sort. How would it look for you waiting at the door like a schoolgirl on her first date?
When I was a schoolgirl and had my first date, I didn't wait at any door. I went out and got it myself. But you got a point there.
Of course I have. Now, George and I will be downstairs to welcome him. And when he comes, we'll call you. By the way, what's his name?
Norman Rutland. Pretty, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. Patience is waiting upstairs, George. We're supposed to call her when he comes. She's lacquering her hair.
A little varnish on her face might help.
His name is Norman Rutland.
Oh. But we won't have much time to work on him. Once she hears the door chime, she'll be expecting us to call her right away.
George, you've solved everything.
I have?
How? Yes, we won't give him a chance to ring the door chimes. We'll meet him at the door. And that way we can get rid of him and she'll never know he's even been here.
Yeah. Slightly dangerous, I'd say, but it might work. Hey, look, coming up the walk.
Yeah.
That must be that
yes,
Rutland
yes.
Now.
Go on, go to the door, George, quick, before he rings.
Well, well, Mr. Rutland. Come in, come in. We've been expecting you.
Oh, thank you. But I believe you have the advantage of me.
Oh, I'm George Harvey. Glad to know you. Come in, come in.
How do you do? Thanks, I will.
Well, Mr. Rutland, this is Miss Susan Armstrong.
Oh, Mr. Rutland, this is a pleasure.
How do you do? You must be Miss Wentworth's employer.
Patient? Yes, I am.
Well, let's get comfortable. Might be a little wait. Patience is making up her face. 2-hour job, sometimes more. Not much of a face to work with, but you know how women are.
No? Oh.
How do you find things, Mr. Rutland?
Things?
I mean, everything, you know.
Oh, well, quite well, thank you. But really, Miss Wentworth need not have bothered. After all, how important is the face?
You're not interested in her face?
I assure you, her face does not matter in the least.
Well, I must say that certainly is broad-minded, isn't it, George?
Yes, yes, certainly is. But then he's never seen patients.
I'm wondering if we're talking about the same thing.
Oh, yes, yes, we are. Patience has told me all about it.
You see, I'm really interested in her cooking.
Her cooking?
Her cooking?
I beg your pardon.
Forgive me, but when anyone mentions cooking and Patience in the same breath, I have to laugh.
Well, I'm not sure that I follow you.
Soggy potato pancakes. You've never seen anything like them in your life, Mr. Rutland.
Soggy, you say? Why, potato pancakes should be crisp and dainty and dry.
Yes.
Oh, well, her squash all over the plate.
Oh, you can almost dunk in them like a fried egg,
Jim.
I says.
This is very odd. I understood she had some excellent and rare recipes.
Oh? Oh, that. Well, you're probably referring to what I call the Wentworth Wiggles, huh, Susan?
Oh, the Wentworth Wiggles.
The Wentworth Wiggles.
Yes, it's a spaghetti dish she makes. No character.
No backbone.
No, it just flops on your plate and stares at you with sauce in its eyes.
Really?
How extraordinary. But if her cooking is so vile, why do you tolerate her around?
Oh, well, she really needs the work.
Yes.
You see, I try to keep her out of the kitchen just as much as I can.
I see. It's strange how some people can build a reputation on nothing at all.
Yes, yes, isn't it, Mr. Rutland? But then Patience always was good at talking a great meal.
Well, forgive me for having troubled you. I'll be running along. It's been a pleasure, Miss Armstrong. Mr. Harvey.
Yes, it has.
Mr. Rutland, you have no idea. It's 8:30, George. I wonder how long she's going to stay up there.
Well, maybe she put on too much lacquer and got stuck to the mirror or something. Oh, here she comes.
Didn't he come yet?
No, Patience. Maybe he got hung up somewhere.
No. If he isn't here by now, he's not coming.
Don't take it so hard, Patience. Maybe it's all for the best.
Oh, sure. If you can figure what's good about losing
$200. $200?
You mean you gave him that much money?
Do I look flaky or something? That's what he was going to pay me.
Pay you? For what?
Recipes for the cookbook he's putting together. I figured I could sell him at least 8. Oh, well.
Recipes? Cookbook? You mean he wasn't interested in you personally?
No more than I was interested in him.
Oh.
What's the matter with you?
I'm groaning for Susan, too.
Oh, that's him? I just know that's him.
Oh, I hope with all my heart it is. But I'm sure it isn't.
Oh, just Sammy from the office.
Sammy?
Some more letters came for Patience in the afternoon mail, and I thought they might be important, so I brought them over.
Thanks, but you didn't need to bother. Might as well chuck them in the fireplace with all the rest.
But Patience...
Those letters, you're burning them. But your ad in the paper.
I know, silliest thing ever did in my life. Tootsie Bender, she's a friend of mine back in Minnesota and old enough to know better, coming down here in a few weeks. She has an idea she ought to get married, so she asked me to run that ad in the paper down here and save her the answers.
Oh, I see. So that was it.
I'll just tell her she didn't get a single nibble. That old fool's kept out of trouble this long, and I ain't going to be the one to start getting her into it.
Oh, Patience, Patience. I've done a horrible thing.
You get engaged to George?
No, no.
Oh, well, then just take it easy, honey. You've got nothing to worry about.
Well, I like that.
George, tell me, how did you make out?
Oh, how do I always make out?
Don't tell me you messed this up, too.
I did not. Mr. Rutland understood perfectly.
But he must have thought I was out of my mind.
Yeah, I told him that. That's why he understood perfectly.
You didn't.
He's accepted an even dozen of Patience recipes and paid her $300 as per agreement.
Oh, wonderful.
I've just come from your house, and Patience has already tucked the money away. Well, wherever she tucks money away.
And she's not angry with you anymore, is she?
Not only is she not angry, but she has created a special dish in my honor, which she is in the process of preparing at this very moment.
A special dish?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's called Old Southern Hash a la Harvey. And I deem it a great honor, ma'am, if you'd have dinner with me tonight at your house.
Mr. Harvey, sir, I could just kiss you for asking me.
Well, you just go ahead, honey. There ain't nothing stopping you.
Mr. Harvey, you are so right.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to join us then.
Bright Star, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 16th, 1953, a syndicated episode. Elvia Allman played the role of Patience in that broadcast, and she was heard on the radio as early as 1929. A regular actress on the Don Lee Network and throughout radio's yesteryear appeared on programs like The Cinnamon Bear, Fibber McGee and Molly, and the true history series called Can You Imagine That? You're listening to an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a script written exclusively for the Gulf Screen Guild Theater called Winter in Paris. Don Ameche and Maureen O'Sullivan star from March 3rd, 1940 on CBS.
Don Ameche, Maureen O'Sullivan, Warren Williams. The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Theater, the one place where you meet all your favorite stars. Betty Davis, William Powell, Gene Arthur, Jack Benny, Spencer Tracy, to name only a few of the Hollywood stars who will appear here in weeks to come. And tonight, the Gulf Theater presents Don Ameche, Maureen O'Sullivan, Warren Williams, Oscar Bradley, and the Gulf Orchestra. And now your host, the director of the Gulf Theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Here on the stage of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater are three of the grandest people who have ever appeared before a camera. Don Ameche, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Warren Williams. Although all three are working hard in pictures, Warren on the set right next to mine, they gladly gave up what spare time they had to rehearse for tonight's play. As you know, the money the stars would ordinarily get for appearing here in the Gulf Theater, Gulf gives instead to help meet the needs of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and to build a home for the less fortunate fellows in the picture industry. Tonight's play is Winter in Paris, a brand new story by Steve Fisher. Don Ameche plays the part of a young American, Charles Mitchell Lewis. Maureen O'Sullivan as Kathy, his sweetheart. And Warren William appears as the American Embassy attaché, George Conley. Now, on with the play. This is the story of a boy and a girl caught in the net of international intrigue. It might have happened anywhere, anytime. For us, the story begins at the American consulate in Paris. George Conley, attaché at the consulate, is talking to young Charles Mitchell Lewis, who has dropped in to see us.
Don't tell me I'm dreaming, Mitch. Don't tell me you've come in for a visa, that you're sailing for home.
No, not a chance, Conley. You're wrong again.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Mitch. You've been hanging around Paris for 3 months now, ever since you got back from Spain. You can't get a job. Your money's almost gone.
Well, I...
Don't argue with me. I know it is. And you won't even write your folks.
Well, you know how they are in South Dakota. They wouldn't understand.
They're not the only ones. I don't either. Look, Mitch, you went to Spain with a lot of silly notions about romance and high adventure. And what did you get?
Oh, little bad wine, a lot of noise.
And a leg full of shrapnel, complete disillusionment. What do you expect to find in Paris?
Well, I don't know exactly. But this town owes me something, Conley, and I'm going to stay and collect.
Paris is dangerous, Mitch. A fellow like you can get in plenty of trouble.
Oh, forget it, Connie. I can take care of myself.
Your name is Mitchell Lewis. You are American. Why have you come to us?
Because I haven't had a full meal in almost a month. Because it's the middle of September and I'm tired of sleeping in the park at night. And my legs start aching when it rains. Is that nothing?
Yes. But I must warn you, for success we pay well. For failure, death.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
2 weeks from now, a special agent will leave Moscow on the Paris Express. That agent will carry important papers. We want those papers at any cost.
I understand. Anything else?
Your first assignment will be very pleasant. Their agent happens to be a woman.
Catherine, you know these papers are very important.
I know.
Be careful. They have sent an American this time. They have arranged that he will share the same compartment with you on the train. Be clever. Talk to him. Our men will take care of him when you reach Berlin.
May I ask you for an answer,
sir? Sure, of course. You bet. There you are?
Yes. Something funny?
I suppose you didn't smoke. We'd still be sitting here.
No.
For hours, maybe. I couldn't even ask you what your name is.
My name is Catherine.
Catherine, huh? Well, mine's Mitch.
Oh.
You French?
Half French. Oh. Half Russian.
Oh, I see.
My mother died, and I've been visiting my father's family in Moscow. Now I'm going back to Paris again.
Right through to Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Well, say, that's great. Me too. I'm going through to Paris, too.
Nice.
She's beautiful and young. I never told possible that she can be mixed up with Kathy. That's what I'll call her, Kathy.
The wine, Kathy?
Well, the conductor says we only stop here in Warsaw 40 minutes.
Oh, we still have 20 minutes. We'll be in Berlin tomorrow.
I won't really be happy, though, until I'm in Paris again. And Brittany. I was brought up in Brittany. It's so lovely there. But later, my mother moved to Paris. Do you know my father was in Russia so much that I hardly ever saw
Kathy,
him until I... Yes?
I couldn't sleep last night. Pretty horrible to toss and turn and not be able to keep from thinking, not even for a minute. And all the day, every time you smiled at me, I thought it. Look, Kathy, you see this little envelope? There's a greenish powder in it. You see?
Mitch?
I was supposed to slip it in your wine. And then when you were drugged, I was to search your bags.
My people would have killed me, Mitch.
Yes, I know.
My uncle made me do it. He said I wouldn't be suspected. I was ideal to carry certain papers. Certain papers.
Yes, yes, I know.
Mitch, what have we got into?
We couldn't help it either of us. Well, there's the whistle. Get back to the train, Kathy. You'll be safe now.
And you?
I'm staying here.
Oh, but they'll find you, Mitch. Those men you're working for, they're not in this for a country or a cause. They're in this only for themselves, for money. They'll hunt you down. They'll kill you, Mitch.
They'll have to find me first. Come on, Kathy. You better hurry.
No.
Now, Kathy, please, there's not much time.
I love you, Mitch.
Kathy, darling.
And you love me, I know you do.
But you don't realize. We'd never have a moment's rest.
I love you, Mitch.
Both sides would be after us. We'd have to hide like criminals. Even worse, a girl like you.
I love you, Mitch. I'll never leave you now.
I still don't know the police for ideas. But we're married, Kathy.
And you haven't even mentioned the honeymoon.
Say, how would our bank balance look if we had our money in the bank?
We have 8,000 francs between.
8,000? Well, say, mm-hmm. Say, that's a lot of money. That's over 400 bucks.
Uh-huh.
Where would you like to go, madame? Berlin, perhaps?
No. I don't think you'd like Berlin.
All right. Vienna? Budapest?
They're both too small. I'm scared we have to hide.
Which leads us to Paris, I suppose, huh?
Well, Paris would be wonderful to hide in.
Yeah, but they'll be watching the buses and the trains, you know. Gee, if we could think of some way of getting in...
Mitch, have you ever traveled by barge?
By barge?
Oh, now, don't be so superior. Whole families live on barges all the year round. They'd never think of looking for us on a barge.
Well, all right. Paris you want, Paris has got to be, even if we go by barge. Now, is there anything else?
Mm-hmm. I love you, Mitch.
Gee, you know, Kathy, this is the Paris I used to dream about. Paris that was going to give me everything I've always been looking for. Someone like you, of course. Seeing things with you. The Eiffel Tower, rainbow fountain on the Seine. And people at the little sidewalk table smiling because they know we're in love. You know, Kathy, I think I'm getting romantic.
Mitch, do you think we should walk here on the Champs-Élysées? I mean, do you think it's safe?
Oh, sure it is. At night like this.
You know what they told you, Mitch? They said it would be sudden death.
Yeah, I know, but you can't stay cooped up in one little room forever. You've got to have some fun, a little wine and music, and maybe...
Pardon me, monsieur.
Yeah.
So sorry, monsieur, but I wonder if you could tell me where...
She's got a gun!
Wait, you...
Oh. Mitch!
Come on, quick! Keep back in the shadows, Kathy. I think we've given him the slip.
He was one of my uncle's men. He had a gun.
I wonder if they found out where we live.
Oh, they might be waiting. We can't go back.
No. Don't worry, darling. We won't go back. We'll find some other place to live. You know, I'm getting sort of like this room, Kathy. Of course, it's not as nice as the last one we had, but it's much better than the one we had in the Montparnasse.
Mitch. Do you think maybe they'll stop looking for us?
Oh, sure they will. Are you frightened, Kathy?
Not when you're here.
Are you happy?
What do you think?
Me? Oh, I think... Well, I think the Paris must have made a magic. Even in a gloomy room like this. Even with the shades drawn. The light creeps in and somehow your hair gets to be all gold. And I'm the richest man in France.
Here
he is. Go answer that.
Open for the police.
Police?
Oh, well, that's nothing to be afraid of. We're not hiding from the police. Just a minute.
Good afternoon, monsieur. Routine examination. May I see your passport, please?
Oh, well, sure, of course. I've got them right here. Yeah. Yeah, here they are. This is mine.
And madame's?
My wife? She's French.
Not according to his passport, monsieur.
What?
It was issued to her as a Russian citizen.
A Russian?
Right, Mitch.
This visa was good for only 2 months, madame. You must report the local precinct tomorrow.
Oh, well, what'll I do?
She will have 48 hours to leave the country. I'm sorry, monsieur. Good day, madame.
48 hours. 48 hours to leave Paris.
Yeah, if we only could leave.
Oh, Mitch.
We can't leave and we can't stay. Both sides will be watching for us, and now we'll have to hide from the police as well.
What'll we do?
Oh, don't worry, Kathy. We'll find a way. We'll find some way.
Don't thank me, Mitch. That's what the consular service is here for. And I'm glad you've come to your senses. When do you sail?
Well, I don't know for sure, Conley. I've written Dad for some money. But I thought I might turn in my passport and get one for myself and my wife.
Your wife? Well, I'll be... Oh, why wasn't I invited to the wedding?
Nobody was.
Well, all right. Bring in her birth certificate. I'll fix it with the French Bureau.
She's not French.
Oh, that makes it tough.
Yeah, she's Russian.
Tougher still. You'll have to get her passport out of Moscow.
We can't go to Moscow.
Well, I could try to get her papers through the mail. See, it's the middle of December now. Check with me a couple of weeks after Christmas.
Well,
Christmas, Kathy. Merry... Hey. Hey, what's the idea, young lady? Sitting in the dark... Crying on Christmas?
Oh, get tight, Mitch. Hold me very close. Sometimes when I'm here all alone, I think all sorts of things. Awful, dreadful things that might be happening to you. And then I cry.
Well, it's a wonder it hasn't gotten you before. Living in shadows, hiding in dark corners.
Oh, it's all right now. You're back.
Yeah, sure. It's all right for me. The only world I'll ever want is just one room like this. And the moon on the face, the way it is now.
That's all I want, too. One room and us together. Just the three of us.
The three of us? You mean there's going to be... Oh, so that's why you were sitting in the dark. That's why you were crying when I came in.
Oh, me.
Oh, now, Cassie, you mustn't cry. But that's nothing to cry about. You should be glad. Listen, Kathy. The chimes of Notre Dame. They're for us, Kathy. It's a sign. Everything's going to be all right. It's Christmas, Kathy.
This is why you're in the room.
Merry Christmas, darling. Merry Christmas.
February, March. The first 3 months of 1939 go by. Radios are blaring, people muttering the threat of war. And still Mitch and Kathy, his wife, remain in Paris, trapped, hunted by police and secret agents. Mitch, half mad with worry and despair, makes almost daily visits to the consulate. Early in April, we find him in Connolly's office again.
But it's been over 3 months, Connolly. There must be some way of getting a passport for my wife. You've got to do something, I tell you.
Don't you think I've been trying? Don't you think I... Sorry, Mitch, I didn't mean to snap at you. This European situation's getting me, too. Been working night and day.
Oh, I know I've been a pest, but...
Forget it, old man.
All we want to do is get back to America. We've got to get back now. Kathy's going to have a baby.
Oh. Well, I'll let you know the minute I hear. If you want, leave me your address.
Got to send those papers, Connolly. It's the middle of July now.
I have sent a deposition to Washington. I'm doing all I can, Mitch.
Well, it's not enough. I'll tell you, this money is all we have. My wife is desperately ill. We've got to get home, or she may not live.
Sorry, Mitch.
Sorry. You're sorry.
Yeah.
Just to get a breath of air, so.
You're watching. You are watching, aren't you? So then.
Oh, now, don't be silly, Kathy. They can't be looking for us anymore. Look, why don't you try to sleep?
Paris is so quiet, Mitch. Why is everything so still?
Well, because it's August. Lots of people are away.
Mitch, I'm afraid. I feel something terrible's happening.
Oh, now, Kathy, please try to sleep. Please try to sleep. Close your eyes. Take some of this medicine.
It's so warm in here. You've closed the window. Drawn the shade.
Well, I thought maybe the lights from the street might waken you.
I never did before. Oh, there's someone down there. Is there? Tell me, Mitch.
He's been waiting for a couple of hours, standing near the lights. He keeps looking up.
They found us, then.
Let him come up. I've got a gun.
Oh, I wouldn't have a chance, Mitch. No, we've got to get away.
I'm sick of running. One shot, we wouldn't have to.
Oh, Mitch, you mustn't. You...
Kathy. Kathy. Kathy, what is it? Kathy, you can't. You can't even walk.
Oh, Mitch.
Now, Kathy,
Mitch,
please.
I think it's... Hurry, darling. The hospital.
But how, Kathy? With him down there,
there's a door in the back. Get out that way. Help me. Carry me.
Kathy, if anything happens to you...
Carry me, darling. We'll find a cab. Oh, let's hurry. Hurry.
Do what we can for your wife, young man. There's not much hope, I'm afraid. It's possible we might save the child, but...
Don't
get away somewhere for an hour or so. Isn't there anything you have to do? Some business, perhaps?
Yes. Maybe there is.
Fine. Come back later.
Sure, there's something I've got to do. I've got to kill a man. You standing out here all this time?
I practically own that lamppost by adoption. The concierge said you were out.
Oh, yes, I know. We thought...
I took a chance and waited. I knew how much this meant to you. I've got great news.
For us?
I don't know why, but Washington's anxious to evacuate you crazy Americans in case there's serious trouble here. They're letting our office act in doubtful cases. I've got enough authority to issue that passport for your wife. If you'll come in tomorrow, I'll... Hey, wait a minute. You can't do that. You're a big boy now.
Yes, sure. I'm awful big, I am. I just hope I haven't forgotten how to pray. Doctor, I've got to see her right now. Is everything...
Man, she has a chance, a great chance. You can go in to see her.
Kathy, darling.
Do you want a boy?
Sure I wanted a boy. Is he very big?
7 pounds. Nest is waiting. Now I've got two of you to worry about.
Oh, no, there are no more worries, darling. We're going home. They can't separate us now. Kami got us our passports. We're going home, Kathy.
Home? Darling, it can't be real.
Yes, Kathy, it's real. I'm taking you home.
Oh. That's silly. I've forgotten the day. And it's his birthday.
It's September 3rd. We sail just as soon as you're strong enough. Please get well quick, Kathy.
We'll come back with him someday, won't we?
Oh, sure, Kathy. Of course we will. After all, I still owe you a winter in Paris. And now, will you try to rest, Kathy? You know, you've just got to get well. What did you say, Kathy?
Oh, I love you, Mitch.
Oh, I love you.
Thank you, Maureen, Don, and Warren, thank you. Thanks for a swell performance. And thanks, too, to Steve Fisher for such a splendid story.
Winter isn't necessarily over, even in March. That's why we suggest that you prepare for the unpleasant weather that's still ahead by driving in tomorrow at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer. Your Good Gulf dealer is ready with the correct grade of Gulf Pride motor oil so that your engine will start easily and so that it will get full protection, too. At the same time, better let him help you get rid of those stiff, squeaky spots in your automobile chassis by giving your car a Gulf Flex registered lubrication job with those special Gulf Flex lubricants. Your car will ride easier and steer easier longer if you have it Gulf Flexed tomorrow at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer.
And remember, folks, next week in the Gulf Theater, Betty Davis in her first comedy role with William Powell. So listen to the Gulf Theater next Sunday, and in weeks to come, you'll hear Robert Taylor, Barbara Stanwyck, Carol Lombard, Fred McMurray, Jack Benny, and all your favorite stars. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying goodnight, everybody, for your neighborhood Good Gulf Theater.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from March 3rd, 1940 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.